As an ice cream lover, vanilla is one of those flavors that's just always going to hit the spot. It's comforting and nostalgic, and it goes well with whatever mood I'm in. But sometimes vanilla can be a little boring, if you catch my drift. Sometimes I'm in the mood for chocolate or cookie dough or maybe something wacky, like pistachio if I'm feeling frisky. Whether it's a midnight snack or an afternoon delight, my friends at adamandeve.com can get you the right flavor for whatever mood you're in. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, plus free shipping, which includes rush processing. But that's not all. When you select your one free item, you'll also get a free kit that includes an item for him, something special for her, and something we know you'll both enjoy. They offer discreet shipping as your privacy is a priority, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. Just enter offer code Abby, A-B-B-Y, at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby, code Abby.
Hey, The Bird Show.
Pretty sure we have found a niche for Mo when it comes to his music career, and it's right here, man, because I don't know that I have ever heard a rap about breastfeeding.
I've heard a lot of rap in my time. I don't think I have either.
This is your niche right here, man. Mm-hmm.
This is different.
How did we get here, Krista?
All right, how we got here. It all started with an email from a listener who was upset with her husband because he was upset with his sister for baring her boobs because she was breastfeeding. She wasn't going around flashing the family. She was feeding her child. And brother was uncomfortable with his sister just whipping out a boob and feeding her baby. So he asked his mother, instead of going to his sister and being like, yo, sissy, your top tie is making me uncomfortable, which he shouldn't have done anyway. He asked his mom to talk to her. And we don't think the message got across. And so then he asked his wife to talk to her sister-in-law, not even her blood relative, and say, hey, can you keep those things hidden? It makes your brother uncomfortable.
Did you call him a man baby the other day or something?
I did. I stand by that.
So as we were talking about this, Cassie said, I was in a park and I was on a bench and had to breastfeed my baby there. And that's when Bert goes, you can breastfeed on a bench. You can breastfeed with a wrench. M.O. Edge, you can breastfeed in a chair. You can breastfeed anywhere. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm writing a Dr. Seuss book about breastfeeding. And by God, I did.
You did yesterday. So,
I wrote, oh, the places you'll breastfeed. And some of the highlights, my favorite was, you can breastfeed on a plane. You can breastfeed with Lil Wayne. So we just kind of, you know, I went through it. And then now we're taking it next level.
Well, hold on. Because let's not take off just there yet.
Okay.
Because then you posted that on Instagram yesterday.
I did. I was having a hard time deciding which picture of me breastfeeding my son I wanted to post on my Instagram. Because I breastfed him for a year. And I was very proud of that accomplishment. And I'm so glad I took so many photos of me breastfeeding with him. Because it's a really beautiful memory and bond that he and I had for that 1 year. And so, and as a woman, once again, even when you're out in public, you don't want to infringe on anybody else and you're trying to placate everybody else's needs. And I'm like, I'm showing Cassie the photos and I'm like, okay, this is one from afar. It's like a pretty glamour shot, but what about this one? Like the boob's in your face and you can't ignore it, but is that too much boob?
Oh, it was glorious.
It was a lot of boob.
It was a lot of boob, but it was a great photo.
And so I'm showing her all these different photos. And so I finally decided on one. I split the difference. So I had just the right amount of boob in it to where I was like, it'll get my point across, but it's not like shoving it in your face.
You're like the Goldilocks of boob. Not too much, not too little.
And so I posted my Dr. Seuss rhyme, oh, the places you'll breastfeed. And I mean, it was just flooded with mamas clapping and cheering and thanking me. Right now has 119 comments. And of those 119, only two of them were negative Nancys, which we won't even address. It was perfect.
Just really quickly here, and this is just going to sound like a really strange question, but I'm having all sorts of ADD this morning.
Yeah.
Is it so strange the very first time you have your child on your breast? Just the feeling? Does it feel natural or does it feel like, really odd.
It wasn't as natural as I anticipated because I was like, oh, this is what our bodies are built to do. This will be easy. It was not easy. It was actually really difficult, especially in the beginning. And since I had a C-section, it takes longer for your milk to come in. And it was a struggle in the beginning. And I was like, I don't know if I'm going to even be able to do this. But stuck it out, milk came in, and we were fine. But yeah, that very first latch, it wasn't strange. It didn't feel weird or abnormal. It felt, the fact that he was able to latch felt like this sense of pride. And it's like, no, this is natural. This is what you do.
And then is there joy right after it? Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I was pumped, man.
It felt totally normal to me.
Did a lot of that.
Well played.
It felt normal. I was lucky I didn't have any problems with it. But for me, finding a position was weird. It was hard. And then with my second kid, we had a lactation consultant at the hospital come through. And she's like, why don't you try it like this? And I was like, where were you my entire first child? My back is not breaking anymore. So it was weird finding the position, but the feel of it, it really feels as natural as breathing. It's so weird.
And I know these are odd questions. Can you feel the milk coming out?
Not really.
No, but when your milk really comes in, my boobs did some weird stuff with it and you can feel it then, but come as flowing out.
Mm-hmm.
No, if you're thinking it's peeing and you can feel it. No.
Okay. The engorgement.
Oh God.
That was so you're literally feeding, you're breastfeeding every 4 hours. So that 4 hours starts from the moment you start. So it's every 3.5 hours you got a kid on your boob, right? And you're supposed to breastfeed for 20 to 30 minutes at a time in the beginning. So if you go too long, they get hard as rocks.
It was
and it hurts.
It was you could push on my boob and see the indent of a thumb. It was literally do you guys remember GAC back in the day? But they had the foam one and you could push in it and it was lumpy and I could literally make different shapes in my boob and they would hold.
Damn. Me too.
It hurt so bad. Tommy's doing it right now.
To think that somebody is listening to the show for the very first time.
Yeah.
And that's what they heard.
Yep.
All right. So anyway, Kristen's idea of the Dr. Seuss book now evolves into a rap about breastfeeding, which is where we are.
Because you told me it was bars.
It was bars, honestly. And I didn't change much at all. I had to take off a couple words and maybe add a line or two just for flow and cadence just to make it work on a beat. But honestly, I mean literally 98.9% of this is exactly what you wrote.
I love it.
So,
and did you use Tommy's suggestion for the beat?
Of course I did. Tommy put it in my head that because it was influenced by Dr. Seuss that I should do it on a Dr. Dre beat, which made all the sense in the world to me. So I chose one that I think I'll be able to flow on it enough and use your exact words. So let's do it, Tommy. Let's get into it. Woo, here's a tongue twister. All right, here we go.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. Today is the day. You brought home a brand new baby. Formula in the bottle or milk in your breast. You may be exhausted, but you up for the test. For the mamas who can and choose to offer boob, these next few lines are just for you. You can breastfeed on a bench, breastfeed with a wrench, breastfeed at the store, breastfeed while you snore. You can breastfeed on the phone, you can breastfeed all alone. You can breastfeed in a crowd, you can breastfeed with a shroud. You can breastfeed on a plane, breastfeed with Lil Wayne. You can breastfeed on the potty or while eating mac and...
Take it.
Now I'm doing it again. Tommy, run it back.
Yeah.
I got to get this right,
There's a good chance this thing goes viral. We're cutting it until we get it right.
Come on, this is the one. Let's get it.
Manicotti.
Feel my pain.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, you good at this, Tommy.
Here we go.
All right.
You got this.
Check. All right.
Congratulations. Today is the day.
You brought home a brand new baby. Formula in a bottle or milk in your breast. You may be exhausted, but you up for the test. For the mamas who can and choose to offer boo. These next few lines are just for you. You can breastfeed on a bench, breastfeed with a wrench, breastfeed at the store, breastfeed while you snore. You can breastfeed on the phone, you can breastfeed all alone. You can breastfeed in a crowd, you can breastfeed with a shroud. Breastfeed on a plane, breastfeed with Lil Wayne. You can breastfeed on a potty, yo, while eating manicotti. You can breastfeed with a friend, breastfeed while you bend. Breastfeed in a bed, you can breastfeed in a shed. You can breastfeed while you work, you can breastfeed while you twerk. Breastfeed at the park, you can breastfeed in a dump. While watching TV, flying with E.T., or on Amazon while you're on a shopping spree. You can breastfeed in a chair, breastfeed as a pair. Breastfeed while you share, you can breastfeed anywhere. See, mama? They try to tell you what to do and where. And all you gotta do is give them that mama stare. If they don't like it, then they can kick rocks. It's 2023. They need to check their clocks. So you can use a bottle or you can use a boob. It's all good, mama. The choosing is up to you. Ugh, now get some rest so you can do your best. Cause we all know breastfeeding is the best.
Yeah! Yes, sir! Yes, sir! Well done!
You
well
just
done.
Did that!
Well yeah, done. We did that. That! We did that! The first breastfeed rap ever!
Lit. Hey, The Bird Show.
All right, so this texting tutor is going to be challenging. And let me just save you the time, Kristen.
This is a call for solution youth face-to-face with your fiancé. If you're going to get married, then you should be able to tell anything you want in full honesty.
Okay, face-to-face. One, I sound nothing like that.
Yes, this is a conversation that Charlotte should have face-to-face
Fine.
With her fiancé.
Fine.
If you are entering marriage, you should be able to be totally honest with your fiance.
You don't have to be totally honest, but you should be able to communicate with them.
Even when it comes to their weight, because that's what she wants.
I will wait to hear what we have to say.
Oh, look at Cassie's already ready to attack.
I haven't said anything.
Okay.
I'm waiting to hear the story.
Okay. Hey, Charlotte.
Hey.
Hey, okay, so you want our help texting your fiance to say, look, dude, you got to lose some weight.
Yes, and I totally agree. I should be able to do this like face-to-face with him, but I'm just struggling, and I really don't know how to approach it, so...
All right, well, tell
I
us
need help.
Tell us what got us here.
Okay, I've been engaged for the past few months.
And congrats. Past,
thank you, thanks. I'm super excited. But there's an issue, because... So for the past, like, 3 or 4 months or so since we've been engaged... My fiance has just rapidly gained so much weight that it is frightening. And I'm still actually attracted to him. I don't mind a little extra weight, but I'm just concerned for his health.
Are you really? I mean,
yes.
Are you saying that because it's really kind of an aesthetic thing, or are you really, like, nervous about his health?
Well, I'm not going to lie, I'm still attracted to him. Mm-hmm. It doesn't bother me, but it's just so, it's been like 30 pounds or maybe 40 pounds in just a few months. And I'm just scared that if we're not even married yet, and just since getting engaged, he already is like, he just wants to sit on the couch and eat all the time.
Okay, that's certainly a problem.
And it's just, yeah, it's not healthy. And also, he has to get like a fitting for his suit soon, and then it's not going to fit. You know, in a few months from now and our wedding, and I just want him to be thin also in our pictures. Also, it's just also more a health issue.
And there it is.
So much weight so fast.
You want him to be thin in your pictures.
Hey, Cassie, we are here to play defense attorney. We don't necessarily have to agree with our clients. We get paid to defend them.
That was definitely an off-putting statement. However, somebody that gains that much weight in a short period of time, something needs to be addressed, because would you agree that something's going on?
Oh, yeah, for sure, okay. For sure. All right. But I think for me, it's what is the actual root? Because it did sound like you were concerned about his health, but then when you slide the thin statement in there, then I'm like, okay, is it all just a ruse because you want a thin fiance?
But that is a lot of weight to put on in a short period of time. So I do feel like there is something deeper going on here, and I don't want to be rude and say he got engaged and then all of a sudden he got depressed, or it's like something else like shifted mentally post-engagement. But you need to get to the root of that. I'm just afraid because this is a very delicate topic, whether you're talking about a man's weight or you're talking about a woman's weight.
And a lot of stuff gets lost via text because you don't have the tone. And so we're already struggling communicating with her on the phone, let alone trying to struggle with her fiance via text.
Noted.
Which means I know there.
Noted. I noted that one 4 minutes ago.
Yeah, yeah.
So is he a stress eater? Like, is he under a whole bunch of stress? Is it the wedding planning? Could that be the reason?
I'm doing most of the wedding planning, so that shouldn't be stressing him out too much. I did see like an emotional shift shortly after we got engaged. I wouldn't say it's depression. I don't know if he's not like too comfortable, or now he feels like he doesn't need to work on himself, or I don't know. I do think it's emotional. He is under stress. We're all under stress. I don't know if it's the wedding or I don't know. But he used to want to be active with me. We would go out and do stuff. And now he just wants to, like, sit on the couch and eat.
Well, with what you know of his personality, do you assume that he will be sensitive about something like this? Do you see this being a difficult conversation?
Yeah, that's why I need help. I don't want to, like, hurt his feelings.
Of course not. There is a small part of you wondering, though, if this is not health-related, and he's just like, I got my lady, I'm going to eat. And he's just not active anymore because now he's comfortable.
That's what I feel like it could be, but I'm also concerned for his health, no matter what the reason is, because forget about the pictures, forget about, I actually am still attracted to him bigger, but it's so much weight so quickly. If he continues like this, like, I'm scared for our future and for his health. It's just like, we're talking about like 30 to 40 pounds within just a few months.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so he was never a skinny guy. He was never skinny. He's always like a little bit meaty, but now it's just like, a lot.
Okay. I actually have a plan.
Do you now?
I do. So if we want to take a beat and come back and start texting, I think I have a more sensitive way to address this, to bring it to his attention.
Okay. All right, Charlotte, hang with us for just a couple of seconds, and we come back. We will start texting your fiance about his weight gain and how you're concerned about it. Okay?
Okay.
My texting tutor is next.
Listen, it's the Bert Show.
So we're about to start texting with Charlotte to her fiance, who has put, 30, 40 pounds on in like 3 months or something like that?
That's what she said.
Since they got engaged. And she's really worried about him health-wise. The subplot here, I think, is she's a little bit worried about how the picture's going to look for the wedding. Is he even going to be able to get into his tux? But the priority here is his health. Is he okay? That's a lot of weight to put on in a short amount of time. And it all seems to have started as soon as they got engaged. And Kristen said that she's got the perfect way in.
No. I did not say it was perfect.
What'd you say?
I just felt like it would be a sensitive way at handling the conversation to bring it to his attention.
Okay. Because I was going to suggest the first text is lose 30 pounds by this day or we're putting the wedding off.
No, that is not what we are going to do. He is joking, by the way. Charlotte, I did a quick Google, right? And I just said, Why does a person put on a lot of weight in a short period of time? In medical news today, an article popped up, what causes rapid weight gain? And it says right there, most people experience fluctuations in their weight. However, rapid weight gain can indicate an underlying health condition. So what I think we should do is you should pull this article up on your phone and copy the link and send it to him in conjunction with the text we're going to send.
Okay.
Is that too intense? Because if you're gaining that much weight in a short period of time, it very well could be an underlying health condition.
I don't disagree with your strategy. I just think as the first text.
Not the first text. Like, that's going to be like, we send a text. Hey, I need to talk to you about something. It's going to be uncomfortable. And I'm not trying to make you feel bad about yourself, but I am concerned.
Yeah, I think we got to be a little bit sensitive off the bat. Because If you just send him like an article being like, hey, you're looking a little chunky.
No.
Go to your doctor.
It's going
to be,
It's going to be that is not the plan. I don't want to just send this text with no like clarification. So I think what I just said as, hey, babe, I got to talk to you about something. It's a little uncomfortable, mainly because I don't want to make you feel bad about yourself.
Yeah, I think we definitely need to address the fact that, like, I think you're probably going to take this in a way that I'm not meaning. I just genuinely care about you.
There should be some kind of, like, the word concern to me, I think should be in there somewhere.
I agree with the tactic, and I think your text is great. I just feel like it's not medical. It might be mental health, but if he's eating more than he used to, your thyroid isn't going to, like, it's obviously added calories, so it might be stress or mental issues, but I think that is a very nice, disarming way of tackling something difficult. Okay.
All right, so, hey, babe, got to talk to you about something.
Hey, babe.
Or, hey, whatever, like, I call Barb babe, so.
Hey, Pookie.
Yeah, insert your pet name.
I usually call him Sweetie, so hey. Should I just put, like, hey, Sweetie?
Yes,
I think maybe we should stay away from sweets.
I
might have something to do
with you. I cannot with you.
The fat jokes are great. I'm living for it.
It wasn't a fat joke. It was a sweet joke.
Uh-huh.
It was a sugar joke.
Hey, salty.
Hey, salad.
Hey, sweetie.
Okay.
I got to talk to you about something, and it may be uncomfortable. I don't mean for it to be. I'm just coming from a place of concern.
Hey, that sounds good.
I got a better idea.
No, Tommy.
Tommy can make these jokes.
No, I got a better idea.
Okay.
They're engaged, right?
Yes.
They're planning their wedding. They're thinking about the reception. Text him and say, I'm thinking about first songs for the reception. And then send him this link and say, how do you like this song?
Just because you like that song, Tommy, doesn't mean he will like that song.
Well, that would go viral.
It's a bop, though.
We just want to leave it at that and send and get his response back.
The Tommy suggestion?
No, absolutely not. What do you have written thus far, Charlotte?
Okay, I have, hey, sweetie, I need to talk to you about something. It may be uncomfortable. I don't mean it to be. I'm just concerned.
Yeah, that would get my attention.
Okay, all right, hit boom. Send.
Several factors can play a role in gaining and retaining excess weight. These include diet, lack of exercise, environmental factors, and genetics.
Oh, you guys, the answer. It doesn't sound good.
I would say, I've noticed some changes in you, because that could be mental, changes in you over the last however many months. I just want to check in.
And make sure everything's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, I got Jimmy some Bluey shoes I'm really excited about.
I saw that.
Oh, what do they look like? So it's from the episode Keepy Uppy. And so Bluey's on one shoe and Bingo's on the other, and they're passing a balloon to each other.
Aww.
I want them.
Yeah.
They come in a size 6 woman's?
Maybe.
I'll sport them.
Oh, I thought you were talking about my foot. It's jacked up.
What size do you wear?
It's like 6.
Are you? I'm a 6.5.
You are?
Yeah.
Twins. So if you get a pair, I can borrow them.
Totes.
Totes my goats.
Kristen has an excellent shoe collection.
You do?
Oh.
Do you have like a pair of like Louboutins?
Oh, yeah.
I got 2.
Are they comfortable?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why. I'm not a shoes gal. I'm a perfume gal.
Really?
Because I like the way when you smell something, it triggers memories. So I have like specific perfumes for different outfits. Because I'm like, ooh, this is a cozy grandma outfit. This is like a hot girl outfit.
That is so funny because I'm like completely adverse to perfumes. I don't wear anything. Not even scented lotions.
Do you not like to smell good?
I have been asking that question for a decade.
I just got a really sensitive nostril, nose, nasal passage. So, yeah. I know where it stems from. And, like, I love her, but growing up, I remember getting in that hot Astro van and my mom getting in wearing her Boucheron, and she would put so much on that it would just fill up the van with that scent. And it was just like, it was so much that I don't like perfumes.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I have a couple I think I'm allergic to.
He answered you guys.
What's that?
He answered you guys and it's not great. Oh, I don't feel good about his answer.
All right. What do you say?
Okay. He said, fine. Are you okay?
Well, it could be worse. I mean, he could have like cussed you out or something. Like, what do you mean?
But mine's basically an F you.
No, that'd be K, period.
I know that he's sensitive. I feel like I've triggered him and I don't want to. That's why I had so much trouble approaching him face to face. I thought maybe we could do it this way if you like, but like I could see already he's like his feelings are upset.
Yeah, this might be one of those conversations where he's like super, super hurt now, and then at some point or another you can come back, but you guys are assuming that he already knows what she's talking about?
I feel like he might not. Like, he might just be like, I just, you know.
I would be shocked if he did, because, I mean, love you guys, but every texting tutor we do with a man, he's typically very oblivious. So for him to have picked up on this already, I would be shocked.
Yeah. Huh.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about weight gain, though, I mean, we've said this before about women that they know they don't, it doesn't need to be pointed out. So why is that any different than a guy?
No, very true. And maybe I'm sure he recognizes that. I just don't know if he recognizes that's what we're getting at in this text conversation. I mean, and maybe, you know, maybe he's one of those that is very intuitive and he sees through all of this and that he knows he's gained weight and that you've noticed he's gained weight. And this is your way of trying to address it with him. And now we're just trying to, like, sidestep it and...
What do we do now? I mean, he's all obviously sensitive, and she hasn't even gotten to the part that she wants to address with him.
This is what you're going to say. Listen, I love you for better or for worse, in sickness and in health.
I like that. Okay.
This message is coming from a place of love. If you need to talk about anything, I'm here.
Okay.
It's the same reason why my brother's adverse to sweet tea, because we had it at every single dinner.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't drink that anymore because no caffeine.
Can you not get uncaffeinated sweet tea? Does that not exist? I was never a sweet tea drinker.
No, well, I just don't do it because of the excess sugar. No.
He texted back. Okay. He says, I'm fine. Don't understand. But okay. So he has no idea what we're talking about. I thought he might realize.
I don't think he does.
Not a clue. Well, he's deflected.
He has no idea.
Good luck with that tonight. Should she say, let's discuss tonight?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I mean, just go ahead and do it over phone. You've already started the conversation.
Do it now, you're saying, or call him?
No, do it now.
Do it now?
Mm-hmm.
Read what he said again.
He said, I'm fine, don't understand, but okay.
This is actually one of the few conversations I would suggest doing via text instead of face-to-face.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
Because it is such a hard subject, I think, to talk about for both parties, that it allows somebody else to react and, like, not feel embarrassed face-to-face.
Gotcha.
Like, you know, because basically, at the end of the day, even though it's about your health, you're like, hey, you gained a ton of weight, and I noticed. So to tell somebody that is like, oh, God, you know, especially with the stigma around weight. And so to allow them to kind of feel like they can save face without having to be face-to-face and talk about it, I think is kind of nice.
All right, then we're going to go in and be like, I've noticed that you've experienced some rapid weight gain in the past few months.
Okay.
If you had lost a rapid amount of weight in the last few months, I would still be coming to you because I think there's a health issue.
Okay. That's good because it really makes it a health thing. Like, you know, if you've lost or gained this much weight that fast, then I'd be concerned. So I feel okay about it because it's not just about him being heavier. Mm-hmm. It just, like, makes it a health thing because I put the losing weight too.
It doesn't make it a health thing. It is a health thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Whether it's a mental health thing or a biological health thing, it's a health thing.
Yeah, this any behavior that isn't consistent with what you know of him from the beginning is going to be concerning. Yes, we're talking about weight gain here, but if he... I can't think of an example right now, but if there was a really drastic difference in anything he was doing, you'd be concerned.
Yeah. And you're not being accusatory or making comments about his appearance. Like, I know when people were concerned about me being underweight, like, they would talk about how I looked, and I'd be like, okay, well, ma'am, this is a Wendy's.
This happened to you a lot when you were younger or even now?
I remember one specific instance. I was in Publix and one of, like, my, I won't be specific, but an adult in my life came up to me and was like, ooh, you look like skeletal. And I was like, let's not make comments about children.
And you're just naturally thin, right? So there are going to be some that are going to like, oh, she got a problem.
Yeah. There's always going to be comments about your weight when you're a woman, I think. I've just come to terms
with
that.
He answered.
Okay.
Okay. Says, I feel fine. Pretty sure I'm fine.
Cass, we got to lean on you on this one. So he says he's fine, which is really his way of saying he don't want to talk about it.
Then he's fine.
Then he's fine. Drop it.
I would. I mean, I think at some point you respect your partner's boundaries. If you already planted the seed that something is wrong health-wise, maybe you could leave it with like, hey, it wouldn't hurt to talk to your doctor about the physical changes you've been undergoing.
So how about we like, okay, glad to hear. It would put my mind and heart at ease if you spoke to your doctor.
Okay.
Why don't you talk to your doctor?
And she should say, I will.
Okay, let's go together.
Okay.
That's it?
Yeah.
I am guessing there is going to be a text later on today or a conversation tonight.
Pull up the articles. Like, do your research. Seriously.
And I implore you the same way Cassie did. Do not make this superficial at all about the pictures, about the wedding, the assumption that he just got lazy because now he's locked you in. That is going to get you nowhere. Do I have that right?
Yeah. Definitely don't tell him he's slobbed out.
All right, Charlotte.
I don't want to hurt his feelings.
Look, his feelings are going to be hurt for whatever reason. But I think your suggestion to go see the doctor is all you can do. But it's going to come around again tonight. So, like Cass said, just handle it with sensitivity.
Okay. Thank you.
See you. You're welcome.
You're on The Burt Show.
All right, so what's going on in your life you want to share with The Burt Show? And we'll try to get you guys some advice. In this case, the boss wants to hang out with the employees on the weekends. The only problem here is the employees hate the boss. So is there a sly way to try to get out of it without hurting your career? Mo's got the email.
Dear Burt Show, I've got an awkward situation I'd be interested in getting some feedback on. I work for a fairly small company, and my boss is an ultra-pretentious, condescending a-hole.
Mm.
I do not usually credit this to him, being a Brit, but if you hear how frequently he says things like, that would never happen in Britain, or I wish I lived in Britain again, it's the bed he made for himself. And don't let the door hit you on the way out.
So they're saying, just go already, all right? You're talking so much about it. You're not stuck here. Get a passport. Leave.
He's chased away several good people already as a result of his condescension and lack of encouragement and support. He found out recently that I mountain bike. For the next several weeks, he came into my office asking for my opinions on bikes, components, etc. Temper all this by adding that he also wants to fit this mountain bike with a bike seat or his nearly two-year-old. When I mountain bike, I do it with close friends and people I want to spend time with, or by myself so I can enjoy some alone time. But of course, this jerk is trying to invite himself on our rides. I'm torn. Do I invite him on a real hard ride with buddies and ride his ass into the dirt once and for all?
That's a great idea.
Or continue to make excuses why our schedules don't match up. While the biggest part of me is to take him on a very difficult ride, my fear is he'll be challenged and want to continue to come so he can improve and keep up. Not to mention, I don't want to spend a single minute wasting the time I love with friends on him. Into the dirt or continue to avoid. Cheerfully, glad to be an American.
I don't know about you guys, but it's not that hard to keep putting off like friends that not even friends or acquaintances that don't want to hang necessarily with you either all that much. So there's almost like this fake dance that goes on like, okay, you know what? Next week is our week. And then your friend says it also, but you both really kind of know like it's not going to happen. It almost sounds like this is the situation unless the boss is getting like really aggressive about hanging out.
Yes. And it feels like the boss has gotten aggressive, which I don't understand. I mean, take the Britain out of it. Why people can't get the hint, like let it go, give up. They don't want to hang out with you and that's okay. And move on. So if I were him, no, I wouldn't hang out with the boss because I see nothing good coming of it. I feel like if you do, something's going to happen on that bike trip and your true feelings are going to come out and you're going to jeopardize your job. So you have to like continue to stay away from him.
What you got, Cass?
I want to know how the boss keeps finding out about your rides with your friends.
Might be on Instagram, social, something like that.
Well, then what I would say is let the boss invite you on a ride. Just be like, hey, this is a really close friend group, but I'd love to go on a ride for you sometime. Let me know, and you can set it up.
Mm.
So that way, the boss is still getting a ride with you, but you're not having to let him infiltrate your friend group.
That's pretty good.
Not a bad idea.
I wouldn't let the boss come.
No.
I like to try to ride him into the dirt idea. It sounds fun.
I
like the idea of it. But then it feels like it's going to turn into one of those movies where it completely goes against what he thought, and then now you're going to have to like really be with the boss all the time on these trips, so
No, I would continue to avoid it as best I could.
Yeah, it seems like he's got a little bit of bitterness, like riding his ass into the dirt. I'm with Kristen. Nothing good could come from this. Aww. You're going to go on this trip. You're going to be mad that he's there. And all you're going to want to do is make him look stupid. So just cut your losses. It'd be easier to just, like, not let him come than let him come and have it be an awful time.
Let's play out the first scenario, right? The one that Mo and I knee-jerk reaction kind of like. I think that this guy has the boss has no idea what he's getting into on rides like this. And I think inviting him and, look, everybody else isn't going to be busting their ass. You guys are just going on the same ride you normally do. The boss won't be able to keep up. It will be miserable for him, and I do not think he will sign up for a second trip. And you get credit for bringing him along in the first place.
No, but you also have to think, depending on the type of personality this boss has, if you embarrass him or he feels embarrassed, he could lash out at you at work. Like, if you make him look stupid on this bike ride, that could have repercussions for you in the office.
Are you making him look stupid if he just can't keep up?
You're not, but you can't control how he perceives it, and he might perceive it as you trying to make him look stupid in front of your friends that he doesn't know how to mountain bike when he's been the one bugging you. It's all about perception and how each individual person, and that is a possibility that he looks at this and feels embarrassed and gets upset, and then ultimately, where is he going to take it out on you? At work, because he's your boss.
True.
I feel like with my luck, he would come out there and be amazing.
I know, right? He'd pass you up.
Yeah.
The Burt Show.
All right, so Mo, your friend actually looks forward to being the side piece.
Yeah. Ironic, following this story, this was interesting to me because I had spoke on my podcast about how I just feel like with a lot of this new generation that we're having, marriage is being questioned. Sometimes even full-blown relationships are being questioned. And some people, like you said, just rather date casually, while others still believe in the traditions of being in exclusive relationships and dating monogamously and things of that nature. And so that conversation led to one of my friends hitting me up and being completely honest with me about something that I'd never even heard him tell me before. And he was like, you can tell my story because I am curious as to what people think about it. Just don't tell my name. I said, I got you, my dude. So he told me that he has been not really secretly as far as with the women he's dating, but secretly as far as with like his family and his friends. He doesn't really share this. But if he's being completely honest because of his past, and some of the things that he experienced when he was in a relationship. He was married once at one point in life. And I guess he kind of always told himself, if I ever get married and it doesn't work, like, that's it for him. He never wanted to be married twice. He had no desire. It was like, I'm going to try this once and I'm done. And I guess the way his marriage went and the way his relationships have gone in his life, what his experience has led him to believe, he has now reached this place where he was ashamed of it at first, but now he's starting to understand, like, this is just me. This is what makes me happy. But he actually prefers to be the side piece. Like, that's his thing.
I'm so intrigued by this.
He genuinely pursues women who are taken. And he has no limit to it. Like, in his mind, he feels like, of course, people are going to say it's wrong, right?
Well, yeah, because role reversal. If a woman actively, like, that's her intent, right, is to pursue men who are in committed relationships, I'm going to look sideways at her. I'm going to look more than sideways at her. I mean, she's
a home wrecker. That's the word you're looking for.
Every time I hear that word, I think when our former producer Blake, like, wrote it down because he didn't think he could say that on air.
He said the S word. But he wouldn't say homewrecker.
Right. So he knows that, right? Yeah. He's aware of that piece
of it.
He's
a homewrecker, too.
Right. And he doesn't necessarily, like, he wanted to make it clear. He does not try to pursue women who are not into that and then try to convince them to be into that. That's not his thing.
Okay.
But he knows, like, he says, whether I do it or not, whether we accept it or not, there are going to be women who cheat. It is what it is, right? Whether they married in a relationship, that's just for some women, that's their thing. So in his mind, if it's going to happen anyway,
I might as well be the one to benefit from it.
I might as well be the guy. He doesn't want to have to sleep at night and wonder what his partner is out there doing anymore. He doesn't want to go through the process of loving someone and being lied to or deceived anymore. He just simply is over that. And he has found comfort in being the guy that doesn't have the full responsibilities that come with a marriage or a relationship. And I guess he somewhat gets the fun aspect of the relationships that he develops, but he doesn't have to deal with all of the other stuff. And for him, that's his happy place.
See, that's, and if, I mean, and if that's his happy place, then so be it. But I feel sad for him.
I did too at first, but when he broke it down to me, and I understood that, because he said to me, he's like, Mo, you're the main person who always says everybody's happiness is different. Like, people will try to put their happiness on you, and you've been a happy guy single. You don't need that. So in his mind, he's like, don't feel that way for me, because yeah, that may not make everyone else happy, but that makes him happy.
Well, and we have somebody else on the line who's in the same position, and it makes her happy. Hey, Stacy, thanks for joining the conversation. So you're perfectly content, and you're happy being the third.
Hi, good morning. Yes, I am. So I'm in a polyamorous relationship. I'm not my main partner. I am the side piece. And we've been doing this for 2 years now, and I find it so refreshing. It is so much easier. I don't have to make him my main priority. Mm-hmm. Like, if he's like, if the girlfriend's like, I don't feel like going out, and I'm like, I'm open, we can go. It's not the pressure of a relationship isn't there, but you're still getting kind of the same benefits.
And I can understand that, and it makes more sense coming from you. And I think it's more, since both partners know, since everybody's in the know in this, it doesn't feel as icky. You know what I mean?
That makes sense. No,
it doesn't feel icky at all for Stacy and her situation, because everybody's in the know of where everybody stands. Whereas your guy, he's literally the other man.
Yeah, he doesn't care. He doesn't care if the guy knows or doesn't know. He's fine with it either way. And some of his experience, the guy has known, and others they didn't. But for him, as long as he doesn't have to have the responsibilities of a relationship and worry about being hurt, he's happy.
Fascinating. It's a Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Hi, Cass. So your kid is talking about living in a past life?
Yeah, man. So I have seen documentaries and heard of other people talking to their kids, and their kids will give the name of who they were in the past life, and even like literally be like, here's where I passed away, and then take people to that site, and then they find like a body at that site. Creepy stuff. Memories they shouldn't have that are historically rooted that they shouldn't know about. So, you know, all of this is always in my mind because I find it fascinating. And then the other day I was putting on makeup, and I don't wear a lot of makeup at home, but I was putting it on to go out, and my daughter was watching me, and she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm painting my face. It's like art. It's like art for your face. I enjoy makeup. I like how it makes me look. And then she said, I used to wear makeup. And I said, oh, really? Oh, that's cute. Thinking, because she's been coloring her fingernails with markers to make it look like nail polish. I'm like, oh, yeah. When was that? She goes, when I was a mom. And I said, oh, okay, you were a mom. She goes, yeah, when I was a mama, I used to wear makeup. And I was like, is that now? She goes, no, it was before. And I said, you were a mama? She said, yes, I had a kid. And I'm getting freaked out. And I'm like, okay. Because the hardest thing about a parent is when your kid says stuff to freak you out, like, you can't react. Like, inside, I'm like, externally, I'm like, neat. That's very cool, Hazel. You know, and then I'm like, what was your kid's name? She goes, Maxie, which is her brother's name is Max. So that's when I was like, And then the next day, she goes, my name is Dana. And I'm like, where the hell did you hear this name Dana? Like, it's not in any of the kids' shows. It's not like Dana the super kitty, you know? I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, I'm Dana. I'm not Hazel. I'm Dana. And so then I said, Dana, are you a mom? And she goes, yes, I'm a mom. I used to wear makeup. And I was like, this is not okay. I'm like, Chad, you have to step in. And I said, where's Hazel? And she's like, Hazel is over there in the trees. I'm Dana. And I'm like, you are freaking me out, kid. You have got to stop. Like, does my kid have multiple personality disorder? Dana, how old are you? I'm 6. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? So I'm talking to Chad. I'm like, I think Hazel was a woman named Dana in her past life who had kids. And Chad goes, were you leading the witness again? Because see, that's what he calls it when I say, Dana, did you have kids before? Of course, Hazel's going to say yes. Mm-hmm. But I'm just curious, like, it's such a random name. It was such a random thing for my daughter to say, I used to wear makeup. Not, I want to wear makeup. I used to be a mom. Like, talking this way. And I'm just worried, like, is this normal? Do other people's kids do this?
Let's ask 1-855-BIRCHO. There was a movie way back in the day with Nicole Kidman that I think was about this very thing. And I think it was called Birth or something like that, where they realized that her child really did have a past life. And it couldn't have been very good because I don't remember how it ended. But I do remember it being a thing and them proving that this really was a child in a past life.
It is so, and she'll do random stuff. Like she'll wake up, she'll go, "What's your name?" And then she'll say, "What's my name?" And I'm like, "Are you a changeling? Like, did a fairy fly in here and swap you out?" And it's just like her imagination as a 3-year-old. But also when they like stand and wave to stuff you can't see, like I get freaked out really easily. I can't even watch horror movies and I'm living in one.
Tommy.
I love this show. It's on the FYI network. It's called Ghost Inside My Child. And it's exactly this. Ooh. It's like, like there was one kid, I was watching an episode where they had gone to a Titanic exhibit and this kid starts having a dream that they're going down on the Titanic and they thought it was like a past life regression kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And they've got all those stories.
What's the name of the show?
Ghost Inside My Child.
Hey, Brittany, good morning. Thank you for joining the Burt Show. What's up?
Okay, so the other day I was fussing at my kid. Good morning, guys. Sorry for being rude.
All good.
But I was fussing at my kid, and he was like, "I knew I shouldn't have chose you guys as my parents." And I was like, oh, the S-H word. And I got myself together, and I came back, and I was like, so nice to him because I didn't know what to do. I'm a scary cat. Everything freaks me out, and I just try to be nice, but it's weird because my mom passed away and he told me, you know, she's with us everywhere we go. And that freaked me out. So, yeah, it's cool hearing someone else talk about it.
Yeah, I think we've done this like every year we do this on the show.
At some point in time.
That, and it's usually around Halloween because it's way freakier when your kids can see ghosts and you can't. Mm-hmm. Remember, I always tell you guys about Alyssa Leonard, one of our Burt's Big Adventure kids, who has passed and come back like 6 different times. And there have been times where she comes back and she tells her mom about an uncle that she was hanging out with in that life that she never met. Never met before he passed away with vivid details on what he looks like, what his nicknames were, and their mom had never brought this guy up before.
That's crazy.
Cassie, I don't want to freak you out,
but
you know how I look up people on Spokio.com?
Uh-huh.
I use it to find people. I know your address, and I looked up your address, and a name under former resident is Dana.
No, stop it right now.
You're
lying.
Are you being
serious?
No, I'm
just kidding.
Tommy!
That would have been awesome.
That would have been
so cool. Oh, my God, Tommy. I hate you.
All the color just brushed from Cassie's face.
Literally, I was like, what am I going to have to do when I have the gate ghost hunters? Am I going to have to sage the place? Am I going to have an exorcism? Running through everything.
The Burt Show.
This email is so far above our pay grade here. We love getting your emails about the drama that's going on in your life. But every now and then we'll get one where we're like, it would be irresponsible for us to give advice in a certain area because it could be dangerous because we just don't have experience in that area, right? And in this case here, we had to call Katie Lycum, who is a gender therapist and LGBTQIA specialist that will join us here in just one second with this email. But the email says this: "Hey, Burt Show, I'm in need of help. The world we live in today seems that the LGBTQ community is always in the news. As y'all have brought up drag queens and trans women lately, it has only made my confusion worse. I know you all are allies, and I can use some help. Started in high school, I went to a private Christian school and was a typical jock. I was pretty popular, and everyone knew me in school. I was always jealous of girls and their way of life. The sleepover stories, the inside jokes, the picking out prom dresses, it all fascinated me, and I wanted to experience it. As I got to college, I met a few girls who I dated who were willing to help support. But with lack of a safe place and funds to find a safe place, it was never truly what I wanted. I cherish those relationships and wish I could have them now. Today, I am married to an amazing woman, and she has all the things I wanted in a wife and mother for a marriage. That being said, she does not support this side of me that I cannot get rid of. She tried once and it ended horribly and told me never again. To this day, she does not know that I truly want this experience. I have a secret Tumblr that allows me to indulge through a screen the feelings I have, but again, it's not the full experience I would like. I have wanted to try therapy, but I know my wife would ask why, and I don't want to tell her. I wish I could get away and try all of the different things I want to try, but again, that is not an option. I feel like I am living a double life, and she gets upset that our piano playing time is very frequent.
Isn't very frequent, rather.
But I want to do things outside the traditional norm to gear up to playing the piano, and I do not get the chance. It's complicated, and it's more than wanting to cross-dress, but I do not want to change my life completely. It's a double life I wish I could live and have no idea what to do. I wish I could have a best friend who is a girl I could go to another town with and be best girlfriends or a sister to help me out. Needless to say, it feels like a double life. It feels like I'm trapped at times and I do not know where to go. It's against everything I was brought up believing, but I know it's what I desire and want. And I want to say it's more than just the clothes. It's so much more and deeper than that. As I feel girls have a special bond men do not quite understand. Please help as it is a constant battle. And I want to please both lives I try to live. Thanks in advance. So like I said at the outset, this one's so far above our pay grade. I don't think anybody in here has this experience. So we brought Katie Likem again. She is a gender therapist, an LGBTQIA specialist, and it's almost impossible to wrap this up in a couple of minutes, but we're certainly going to try. Hey, Katie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I really appreciate you joining us. So you heard the email. Is there a short answer here?
Yes. I can try and wrap this up. First, I want to say that the advice I'm about to give isn't necessarily specific to this person's situation or to be thought of as a client clinical relationship between us. It's just general guidance.
Got it.
So the issue would be, you know, it sounds like they want to please their wife and stay with their wife, but they want to, you know, be the person they are. And I know they said therapy is not an option, but I think that would be the best way to go. I have had clients come to see me in similar situations where they pay cash for therapy, and they do it. I wouldn't normally say to do this with a partnered relationship, but they do it, you know, in secret, so that they can work out and process, you know, what they need to do. And I know they said that they wanted a girlfriend, you know, a girlfriend, a friend. You know, there are support groups. There's virtual support groups that could be done during their own time. And I think at some point they're going to need to bring up the importance of their wife.
Well, the first thing is I want to thank you for calling us from the Brazilian rainforest. We appreciate you stopping, taking the time, and giving us the advice. And the second thing is, don't you kind of feel like, wouldn't you rather be on? I don't know what I'm trying to get at
he
here.
He is being honest. He wants both, but his wife isn't into that.
Well, then.
That's where we're at.
Well, I mean, if he wants to live his authentic life, then can you have it both ways here, Kim? Or Katie, I'm sorry.
You know, I mean, I have had clients that there's a conference in Pennsylvania once a year that, you know, some trans women or women who have unsupportive wives will go to and take a vacation. And I realize that was mentioned as not a possibility, but they'll take a vacation, spend a week of their lives, you know, a week of their year being who they want to be, and then go back to their marriage. That can create some
more difficulties because once you experience what you know you want, it can only make the desire more.
Right. It's so heartbreaking to me to think, you know, I mean, we only do this whole life thing one time. Mm-hmm. And in the overall scheme of things, it's really not all that long. And to have to hide who you are in any way, shape, or form, especially with the person they're supposed to trust more than anybody mm-hmm. else, it's kind of heartbreaking. But it's really heartbreaking.
And I want to also come down on the wife because that would be, it would be difficult to try to navigate your feelings around your husband wanting to do this if that's not what you're accustomed to or not something that you're interested in as the wife.
So, Katie, if we had to wrap this thing up in 30 seconds, and we've put you in an impossible situation. It's a very complicated
And
layered and nuanced situation. So to ask for like quick advice is almost impossible. First things first, go to the therapist and don't tell the wife.
If there is no other option to not tell the wife, then I would say yes, go to therapy.
Okay.
And not tell the wife.
That's where it all starts, I guess.
Yeah, okay. I think so. Because this is deep.
It's really deep and really layered. All right, thank you for your time. We really appreciate it, Katie.
All right, you're welcome.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. Get more Burt Show Fix at thebirdshow.com or follow us on social media at The Burt Show.